Morning, church. For those of you keeping score, we've been going through the four Gospels, and we started last January. So it's been almost 2 years going through these four stories, these four accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. And if you've been paying attention, you'll notice we're getting close to the last of the fourth one. My wife haunted me the other day. She said, "Hey, what are you doing after this?" I was like, "Retiring? I don't know. What do you do after this? What do you do after this?" But again, traveling through these four Gospels, and we're in Luke chapter 23, the last couple of chapters of the fourth one. I don't know if I can stretch it out till Christmas, so we'll see. But probably not. Probably not. But today, I mean, being so many months in this study, today we come to a difficult question. And I don't think it's a question that we've really asked ourselves in this study. But the scripture today forces this question upon us. And how we answer is going to be very important. So we are going to pray for wisdom and for understanding and strength to follow. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, just to know Jesus, we are happy. We are grateful. We are humbled. Father, thank you. Thank you for opening the eyes of our hearts. Thank you for bringing us to a place of confession and repentance. Thank you for piercing our conscience to let us know that we had a need for a Savior. Father, thank you for providing all that we need in this life and in the world to come. And Father, following the life of Jesus, we've learned so much. And as much as we've learned, our true hope and our desire is to be able to live more like Him. We ask, Father, that you give us your Holy Spirit so that we can get closer to that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 23. We finished chapter 22 last week, and the last part of the story was Jesus has been betrayed, arrested, and they began this trial in the middle of the night with the religious authorities, and now they are moving on to Roman authorities, so they are including the government. They're including the government. So we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 23, verse 1. They've just been led away from the council, and now they're going to Pilate. Luke 23:1, then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before this, they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done to him. I will therefore punish and release him." After almost 2 years following Jesus through the four Gospels, today's reading requires us to answer a very important question. And that question is, what is more important? Me or Christianity? What is greater? You or Christianity? What is more powerful? You or Christianity? What is bigger? Me or Christianity? At the end of chapter 22, the religious Jews asked him the question in verse 70. So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." And here in verse 3, chapter 23, verse 3, Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "You have said so." Jesus' answer to both of these accusations are, these are your very own words. Are you the Son of God? In essence, Jesus is saying, from your own lips. So are you the king? Are you the rightful leader of these people? From your own lips. You see, God, in his infinite wisdom, in his mercy, and in his power, gives creation the greatest gift that a creator can give creation, and that is you get to answer the question for yourself. He gives each and every one of us, and again, the world, those who deny God, those who deny Christ, the world rails at God and says, "Well, how can you possibly be powerful and good if you allow bad things to happen?" Well, church, those bad things happen because of freedom. Those bad things happen because God loves us so much that if we choose not Him, He allows us that choice. Because if there were not a choice, then they would have something to complain about. If God does not give us free will, if God does not allow us all to make our own decision, then He is something terrible that we have seen throughout history. But God loves us so much that He says, "I'm going to give you what I have, and I'm going to let you choose." And so Jesus, in answering these questions, first to the religious authorities, just say it already. We want to hear the words. Just say it. Are you God's Son? Are you the Christ? And Jesus said, "You've all said it." And Jesus is going to hold them to it. And they bring him to Pilate, and Pilate listens to their accusations, so okay, well, now we're getting a little more political, and of course, you know, the religious Jews, all right, what's Pilate going to respond to? Well, he works for Caesar, so if we can show Jesus as causing problems for Pilate and his jurisdiction before Caesar, well, then I think we got him. So, hey, this guy's claiming to be a king. And we know there's only one king, right? Well, that's kind of interesting to Pilate, so he asks him, are you the king of these people? And Jesus said, you said it. Luke is showing us what Jesus is doing, and Luke's audience, those who every day are coming face to face in what for many of them is becoming their last day or their last days, and having to answer the question, what do you say about Jesus? Is he the Christ? Is he the Son of God? Is he King of Kings? How do you answer that question? What do you say to that? And that question is so powerful, and it's so big, and it's so meaningful. It races forward in what seems like the blink of an eye, 2,000 years, and comes to us and falls in our laps, and we for ourselves have to answer this same question, what is greater, Jesus or us? Church, however we answer, and we are free to answer however we choose, but whatever we answer, God's going to hold us to it. If we answer that Jesus is the Son of God, then God's going to hold us to it. If we answer that Jesus is King, then he's going to hold us to it. If we answer that Jesus is Lord, Master, then he's going to hold us to it. And if we answer that Jesus is Messiah, Savior, he's going to hold us to it. What an amazing gift that a creator can give his creation. Now, when we accept Jesus as he is, we learn something very important. Well, we should anyway. We are secondary to him. It's too often, and I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to us good people here this morning. I'm not talking for anybody else. I'm talking to us. Too often, we switch positions, and we treat Jesus as though he were there to serve us. And we forget that what we have chosen, with all the full benefits and the wonderful eternal retirement package, is that we have chosen to follow him. Kevin read for us in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul exalts Jesus. And I'll go over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just going to hit a couple verses. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says this about Jesus, verse 20. This great power of God he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and raised him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus Christ has been raised far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but in the age to come, Jesus Christ is the authority. Jesus Christ is the authority. And God put all things under the feet of Jesus. All things. Everything. Everyone. And all must answer. And again, what you and I hear, the soundtrack of the lost, is how dare he? Who does he think he is to give us such a deal as to choose for ourselves whether we want to recognize him or ignore him? How dare he? Well, I think going through these Gospels, we have seen that the chutzpah of Jesus is that his love is so great for us that he is willing to put himself in a position of service to those that are beneath him. so that our hearts would be softened to recognize that he is above us all. And so Paul here in Ephesians 1, and here's the thing that I want us to catch. Look at that last verse. All the authority that Jesus has, and what does he call the church? What does he call the church there, the very end of Ephesians chapter 1? His body. And I think we've studied the Gospels long enough, we know what's about to happen to his body. That's us. He is head, we are his body. And he is gladly laying his body on the line for others. Well, that's a turn of events, isn't it? That is a powerful thing that God has done for us, and a powerful thing that God has left for us, making us his body. And we say, oh yeah, his body, resurrection, power. Oh yeah. I mean, he's above everything. Yeah, can't wait till everybody gets it. Well, church, he's starting with us. He starts with us. Those that know him, do we get it? Do we get what it means to be the body of Christ? Do we get what it means to be broken for others? Do we get what it means to call him the Son of God? Do we get what it means to know that he is king? Jesus goes to the third because Pilate's trying to look for a way out. He says, huh, oh, Galilee. Just like the religious Jews appeal to Pilate and say, ha ha, king, we'll get him with title. As soon as Pilate's not getting anywhere with Jesus, and so he hears, ah, Galilee, hey, that's Herod's problem. Let's send him to Herod. And it's interesting, you'll notice when he goes to Herod, what are the words in red in your part of that, in that part of your chapter? Did you notice? What? There are none. Okay, so the Jews said, if you're the Son of God, just say it. He said, you've already said it. And Pilate says, if you are a king, just say it. He says, you've said it. And to Herod, well, I want a sign. Oh, I've heard about this guy. Come on, God boy, do something. You got tricks? I mean, I've heard healings and food and, you know, show me something. Show me something. This will be exciting. Nothing. Not a word. Silence. Now, these three reactions, you're going to see in just a minute how Luke brings them all together. It's kind of cool. He gives Herod nothing, and we're back in Luke now. We're going to pick it up. Let's go down to verse 26. Pilate, after Herod and that debacle, Pilate, they bring him back to Pilate. And Pilate's like, all right, well, look, I don't find any reason to kill this guy. So how about we just let him go? And they said, no, we don't want you to let him go. Kill him. We'll take Barabbas, right? And Luke points out that Barabbas is a terrorist, and he's also in jail for murder. He is a killer, and they say, we want the killer. Because this guy said he's God's son. Which, that's blasphemy. And that's worse than taking life. So give us the killer, put this guy to death. And Pilate's like, can I just, you know, just beat him up, make a good show, and kind of get him out of here? No, you can't. So he gives in. Let's pick it up in verse 26. And they led him away. They seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say on the mountains, fall on us, and the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? So, Pilate delivers him over, and he is headed to the cross. He is headed to his crucifixion. He is headed to his death. And I don't know about you, but I love the way that Simon gets pulled into this. Simon's coming in from the country. I mean, Jerusalem, that's where everybody is coming for the celebration. And Simon's coming in from the country, and it's just like, here, come here. And again, all the Gospels tell this a little bit differently, but they grab Simon, and they put the cross on Simon. And as Jesus is walking through the streets, Simon is walking behind him, carrying the cross of Jesus. And that picture right there, church, that's it. That's us. That's the picture that Luke is trying to draw out for his readers and for all of us who claim to follow Jesus. That Jesus is walking ahead of us. And as much as we loved it when he walked into Jerusalem and everybody had palm fronds and they were throwing their coats on the ground and he's on the little donkey and Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. This is so exciting. Here we see someone following Jesus in faith, bearing his cross and walking right behind him in his footsteps. And church, that's the question that Luke puts to all of us. Are you willing to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? And again, you and I, as good Christians do, we're like, well, you know, we try. But he was perfect, so who can do that? I mean, he was without sin. He didn't mess anything up. I mess stuff up. I mean, I'm trying to walk in his footsteps, but I get distracted. And I try to do what's right, but I can't get it all just perfect like he does. And I wonder if this is not a more appropriate picture for what you and I should be doing. Putting Jesus' cross on our shoulders and keeping our eyes on those feet and walking through town with him. Because at this point in the story, it wasn't palm fronds and songs, was it? No. No, it wasn't. And a bunch of women, his followers, are around him and they're crying. They know what's about to happen. And so now you hear wailing through the streets. And Jesus turns to them, and in good Jesus fashion, worries about himself last. And he looks at them and he says, don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. I know where I'm going. I know what I have to do, and I know where it ends. And church, what confidence. What confidence for you and I to follow in the steps of Jesus and say, whoa, don't feel sorry for me because life is difficult. Don't feel sorry for me because I am suffering at the hands of evil. Well, you can feel sorry for yourselves because guess what? If this is how they treat me, what do you think you're going to do when I'm gone? And again, we have looked at the history and the recipients of Luke, and what was happening to them is they were being killed for their faith. And they're receiving this story, and they're like, Jesus knows. Jesus knows because Jesus went through this very thing. Who am I to treat myself as though I were more important than Jesus? Who am I, a follower of Jesus, to exalt myself above my teacher, above my master? I have made the confession that he is king. I have made the confession that he is the Son of God. And so if my faith leads me down those same steps that it led him, so be it. I've already claimed what I've claimed. And now I just have to carry his cross and watch those steps. That's the big question that Luke is bringing us to. Will you do it? Will you walk in the steps of Jesus? Not just when it's fun and exciting and easy, but will you walk in the footsteps of Jesus when it's painful? When it's sacrificial? When it hurts? When it's not popular? When it's dangerous? That's a pretty big question. I'm glad he saved all four Gospels for us to get there, because if we had to do this week one, attendance would have been really low. Nope, can't do that. Can't follow that one. Jesus knows their suffering. But you know what else Jesus knows? Jesus knows what happens to Rome. I mean, Rome killed a lot of Christians, right? We know our history. What happened to Rome? Right? It didn't last. It didn't last. The empires of this world, their future, it's irrelevant, because he has made us a part of an eternal kingdom. That's what matters. If the power of God seen in Jesus Christ in raising him from the dead, that power that he shines on us and fills us with as the very body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus that got him killed before the resurrection. That's us. That's us. His body. And the power that God displayed at the open tomb is the very power that he gives to us. And it allows us to trust him when he says, look, I'm not going to take you anywhere that I haven't been myself. And I'm not going to take you anywhere that can destroy you. Oh, I'm going to take you some places that are dangerous. I'm going to take you some places that are painful. I'm going to take you some places that are humbling. I'm going to take you some places that just hurt. Because sometimes when you put yourself out there and you love, you get hurt. Jesus says, but I'm not going to take you any place I haven't gone myself. Now follow me. Because the only way that we're going to get through to anybody else is if we show them love. Let's pick it up in 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. All right, now here it is. Remember the religious said, Son of God. Rome said, King of the Jews. Herod, he remained silent. Here it is. Luke's bringing it back in verse 35. The people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. Verse 36, the soldiers, what soldiers? Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. Now, the temptation story coming back for anybody? Should be. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is taken to the place of the skull. He is crucified between two criminals. Innocent among evil. And again, you saw the three reactions. The people, they're silent. The Jews, if you are the Christ, if you are who you say you are, if you are who we kind of recognize you as, make this stop. Make this stop. And the Roman soldiers, what kind of king allows himself to be killed? I mean, he was the one tied up, right? He was the one walking naked through the streets. He's the one nailed to their torture and killing device. And if those soldiers knew any history, like you and I know history, a lot of leaders don't get out unscathed, do they? No. There's not a lot of kings that get to retire happy and old. A lot of them get overthrown. As they are killing him, if you're the king, stop this. Stop this. And again, the voice of Satan is echoing from chapters so far prior. If this, then do this. If you are really the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, make these stones bread. That's no big deal. Fix your hunger. I mean, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself. Go to the temple. Go to the very highest thing that everybody's looking towards and just throw yourself down, because God won't allow you to stub your toe. He'll send angels to take care of you. If you are the Son of God, just bow down to me. I'll give you everything I have to offer. And again, even on the cross, or I guess again, on the cross, at this vital moment where Jesus is giving himself, dying for the sins of the world, and everybody joins in. I mean, even one criminal's like, seriously? Hey, if you're true, fix this. Make it easy. Church, how many times do our prayers sound just like the first criminal on the cross? I mean, think about your prayer life. Come on. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. How many times does our prayer life sound exactly like that criminal on the cross? And not the good one. The first one. God, if you are God, why don't you just fix this? Save us from this. Don't let us go through this. Why? What? You're good. You got all the power. I'm following you. I'm being faithful. I'm giving you everything I got. Why are you making it so difficult? I mean, that's the first criminal. The second criminal looks at him and says, "What? Stop. You and I, we deserve to be here. We broke the law. You and I did bad things. We are right where we deserve to be. And you're giving this guy a hard time? This guy's innocent. We all know it. They have got nothing on him. He hasn't done anything wrong, and they're killing him with us." And he just looks over at Jesus, "Lord, I apologize. And when you come in your kingdom, please, if you could just remember me, that would be fantastic." And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that one just drives people crazy, doesn't it? That verse just, people just, wait, what? 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 He was baptized before vicariously in a present past life. I'm not sure. Let's make it work. It bothers me. Does it really bother you? Does it really bother you that the Son of God took on flesh, lived a life perfect and complete, did everything God wanted him to do, and did it for you because you couldn't do it. And then he's going to be there in the midst of his pain and suffering. And as he's walking down the street, he cares enough to look at the ladies and say, ladies, dry your eyes. Don't cry for me. I'm fine. And he looks at this criminal who has the heart of what God has been looking for since the beginning. God, I realize I'm not it. You are. I'd really appreciate your mercy. And Jesus says, you got it. Isn't that amazing? Okay. We're going to keep him alive a little bit longer. We're going to stop there today. Whew. I know. But I hope that image of him there on the cross might help you and I this week take his question a little more seriously. Who's greater, me or Jesus? Who's more important in my life, me or Jesus? Whose will is more often accomplished in my life, mine or the Lord's? Who is king, him or me? That is the question. That's the question that we're faced with. That's the question that everyone is faced with. Look, you've said it so. If you're a Christian, you've made the confession. You said it. You have said, Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the Savior who died to save me from my sins. And Jesus gives us all freedom to make that confession. And then he will hold every single one of us to our own words. How we view Jesus is exactly what Jesus will be. Wow. That's big. That's big. And that's what the one who has all the power and owns everything and is above everything, that's what he does for us. He says, you get to choose. You get to choose. So this morning, if you have not chosen Jesus, this morning, if you need to choose Jesus, this morning, if you need encouragement to take your choice seriously, or you just need to renew your choice, now's your chance. Now's your chance. But this week, I really want you to think about his question. What's it going to be? Who's going to be greater? Will he be king for you? Will he be Lord? Will he be Christ? Will he be Messiah? Will he be all those things he says that he is for you?